So we'll start off and we'll see the young man who makes an unwise choice. It says, "My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye." I suspect it actually says pupil of your eye. "Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She's loud and defiant, her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, 'I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and I found you. I have covered my bed with coloured linens from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not come home till full moon.' With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, or Sheol, leading down to the chambers of death." So this is a story, I think, that's as old as time itself. And it's similar to other stories in Proverbs. In some of the stories, the woman is a prostitute. Sometimes it's an adulterous wife, or sometimes it's what the King James Version calls the strange woman, the outsider or the foreigner who has different ideas, comes from a different point of view. But in all cases, the boy enters into a relationship which is not good for him. And I guess we've all seen it happen. The young man, you know, a bit naive, nice young man, But not very worldly wise, gets caught up with a girl that is really taking him in a bad direction. You know, and his life up to that point could kind of have gone two ways, one of two ways. But it decidedly veers off at that point. And yet the opposite can also happen, can't it? At a critical point in the young man's life, he meets the right sort of girl. And she actually lifts him and takes him in a good direction, to be more than he was before. It's a bit like that saying, behind every good man is a surprise mother-in-law. But who we choose as a partner in life, it's true, has massive effects on our lives. So chapter 9, our reading for today, having introduced those pictures to us, says that these two sorts of women represent something. The sorts of choices we make at a horizontal level are really just a reflection of the choices we make at a vertical level. And in a sense, we are choosing one of two sorts of women in the spiritual realm. So first of all, Lady Wisdom. So if you've got your Bibles, find Proverbs chapter 9. We'll just read the first six verses. If you've got the Pew Bibles or the Church Bibles, it's on page 454. So it says this, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She has sent out her maids and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. So wisdom is personified here. Do you know what I mean by personified? Wisdom is presented as a person in this passage, as a woman, in fact. And we learn three things about her, even in those few verses we've read. First of all, she has built, and I think is going on, building a house. Now that's interesting because normally we think of men building houses. But what we learn in chapter 8 is that Lady Wisdom is actually a craftsman. She was there when the earth's foundation was laid. So let's just dip into that for a second. Chapter 8, verses 22 to 30. Let's have a quick look. So again, that's actually on the same page, 454 in the Church Bibles. So this is talking about Lady Wisdom. Verse 22 of chapter 8. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters could not overstep his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence. Isn't that graphic poetry? I don't think you could get better. You know, John was saying, look at the Bible if you want good literature. That's just phenomenal. What it's saying is this. It's beautiful poetry, but we have to understand what it means. What it's saying is this, and I think Brendan brought this out so well last week. I think what it's saying is, if God knows how to bring into existence a universe where the oceans have a boundary, they don't overstep, where the clouds know when to drop their dew, where planets orbit in mathematical precision and don't go crashing into each other. And if he is my maker, then the chances are he knows how to run my life so that I don't smash it. He is the designer. So this woman exists who not only wants to make a universe that works, but wants to make a life for you that works. A home where you will be comfortable and things will run well. And what's more, I think as you read the book of Proverbs, she's still building that house. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 3. Don't turn to this one, I'll just read it for you. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 3 says this, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. And when we get to the end of Proverbs, which we will look at soon, we will come across the wife, what's called the wife of noble character, who is still, in a sense, building a house. And we'll look at that later. She's provisioning it. It says she's making clothing for the occupants. She's trading, making a profit. She's preparing food. In fact, probably a better translation is not the wife of noble character, but the strong or capable woman. This woman delivers on her promises. In other words, she said she would give you good, not ill, and she does. She compliments and, in a sense, even makes her husband look good. In a way, he has married above himself. Not so this other woman. Let's read again from Proverbs chapter 9. We'll read from verse 13. So that's on page 455 in the church Bibles. Let's look at the other woman. Verse 13. The woman folly is loud. She's undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. This is what she says. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depth of the grave. Now clearly the woman folly is a parody of Lady Wisdom. She seems to offer all the same things, but she cannot deliver because it says she's undisciplined and without knowledge in verse 13. But she's also built a house of sorts in verse 14. And she also takes her stand at the high point of the city in verse 14. And she also calls out. And she invites people to her house. But what she cries out is, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. Do you know that's a proverb? She's a parody of wisdom. That's a proverb. And you know what? It gives the appearance of wisdom. It sounds smart. It's actually attractive. But what she says comes straight from the pits of hell. Because what she is saying is a complete lie. And it goes something like this. Do you know what? God is mean. If you want good things in life, you'll have to go behind his back, as it were. You cannot trust God with your life. He will give you less than the best. Of course, it's the same lie that he whispered in Eve's ear in the garden. God's holding out on you. It's the same lie he whispered into the prodigal son's ear as he left his father's home for the far country. He doesn't have very many tricks, actually. But in the end, we know how those stories end up. So let's see what happens to a man who chooses badly as we follow through this theme in the book of Proverbs. But before we do that, I want to share with you one other very graphic illustration that comes from the book of Proverbs and applies not only to this topic but to all topics in the book of Proverbs. It's verse 17 in chapter 1. And I'll put it up here so you can just look at it on the screen. 17 and 18. It says, how useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. Brendan and I have been enjoying various verses in Proverbs. This is one of the ones that really hits me. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. So to try and illustrate it, when we lived in Katanning, out in the country, when we first married, we were on a little farm, Christine and I. and we had chooks. And for those of you who aren't Aussies, chooks are chickens for eggs. So we would get the eggs each day. But one day the eggs stopped coming. So what's going on here? And it turns out that we had crows that, or ravens were coming and stealing the eggs. But if ever you got someone to come with a rifle, which we did several times, because we wanted eggs, if ever you got someone to come with a rifle, these ravens or these crows, they're smart birds. Do you know that? As soon as they see something that looks like a rifle, you cannot find one anywhere. Anywhere. They are so smart. At another stage, we had what we think was a feral cat or a fox that would come, and they'd actually take the chickens. So we set up a cage in the chook pen. But the feral cat, I think it was, tripped the cage and didn't get caught. And you know, at that point, I knew it was useless to keep setting that trap up. Because do you know what? Animals are smart. Animals are smart. If there's a trap there, they won't go in it. Whereas people are stupid. They think they're doing something clever, thinking they can trick God into giving them something he otherwise wouldn't give them. But the only person it says here that they are tricking is themselves. The only person they catch is themselves. So let's have a look. What happens to our man? Well, he groans in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. That's on page 452 if you've got the church Bibles. He groans. So we'll read just a bit before that. Verse 1. My son, chapter 5, verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life, her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Now then, my son, listen to me, do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. This is the verse. At the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and body are spent, you will say, how I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. It's a very bad end. So one of the questions I think we have to ask is this. What is this house that's being talked about and that seems to be being built and seems to be part of marriage? In fact, I think it's the purpose of marriage. You see, it's really important that we know what marriage is for. And what Woman Folly is saying is actually it's about self-gratification. Just enjoy yourself. That's the purpose of this relationship, in fact, of all of life. But in the end, that sows the seeds of its own destruction. The relationship goes sour. The house falls apart. You cannot, in the end, build a lasting relationship on wrong motives. So both women appear to offer a house to live in, a safe place for us to be secure and be provided for. But in the end, Lady Folly's house falls down. In fact, you know, it doesn't fall down. She pulls it down. She herself destroys it. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, halfway through the book, makes this amazing statement. The wise woman, Yeah, we'll have a look at it. Chapter 14, verse 1. Page 458, if you've got the church Bibles. It says this, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down." Again, it's a very graphic image. It's a bit like you come home in the first year of marriage and it's all good, but shortly after, your wife has pulled down the back pergola area. And you think, well, that's okay, I can live without that. Then she pulls down the garage. That's a bit annoying because you've got nowhere to park the car, but you can still function. Then bit by bit, the whole house comes down. Room by room. And you are left living in ruins. So what I've asked you to do for homework is to work out what this house is that's being built by wisdom and destroyed by folly. Because I think it's more than just a physical house. I think it's more than just us paying off a mortgage together as a couple. I think ultimately what's being talked about is a spiritual house. A spiritual house we erect for ourselves and our children and others to live in. And the aim of marriage is to build this house. It's not just for companionship or sexual fulfillment, much as those are good things. I wish there were more marriage books that would talk about this sort of thing. What's the purpose of marriage? And sadly, a lot of Christian books on marriage just seem to indicate it is about companionship and sexual fulfillment. We're building a house. It's going to be a house that our family essentially lives in, spiritual house. And those that we come into contact will come into that dwelling as well. Surely that's going to influence the sort of person that we choose. You know, maybe the sexiest girl isn't the one to go for. So I want to finish where Proverbs finishes. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. This passage is the fear of every woman. The last passage they ever want to hear a preacher preach from is Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. Women hate it, men love it. So it's to be found, if you've got the church Bibles, on page 471. And in the NIV it's titled "The Wife of Noble Character." Verse 10, a wife of noble character, or a strong woman, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. I think the distaff is the thing that you weave or with, I think. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchant with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This lady is participating in the making of a household. Practical things are highlighted in this text. Food, clothing, trading. And that's not to say that sex is not important. You know, it's not as if Proverbs is prudish. In fact, Proverbs chapter 5 verse 15 says, "Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain," that's talking about your wife, "be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love." So Proverbs isn't saying, look, men, go out there and find the person you find most least attractive in the world, and that's sure to be the one that God wants you to have. That's not what it's saying. What it is saying is this. The sort of things that will make the difference in your marriage in the long term are not her bra size, if I can put it crudely. Does she actually want to participate with you in doing the Lord's work? That's what's going to make the difference. What is it that's important to her? Does she love the Lord? Does she want to work with you in the vineyard, in his harvest field? So Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" And so I talked on Tuesday with the craft ladies about the yoke. It says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." A yoke is something you put across the shoulders of two working animals. They need to work together. If you put one animal or two animals together that won't work together, you don't get anything done. They're pulling in different directions the whole time. If you have different, as a couple, completely different views of what marriage is about, if you pull against each other, that makes life awful for both of you. It's not just the Christian that will suffer, the non-Christian partner will too. She wants something different out of life. Proverbs would also say, "Don't have sex until you are married." This relationship needs to be built on commitment, not convenience. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 17, it's the unfaithful woman, it says, who's left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she's made before God. The foundation of this thing has to be, the joining together has to be commitment, covenant, not convenience. Convenience can change. Covenant doesn't. So we have plenty here in Proverbs for young people looking for a partner, especially young men looking for a partner. Maybe as you've read this, though, you are already married and you're thinking, actually, as I read that last part of Proverbs 31, I'm not sure my wife completely measures up. Maybe that's what you're thinking. One of the commentaries made me laugh. It said, you know, does this woman actually exist? You know, is this real? In actual fact, it occurred to me, you know, Proverbs, I believe, is written by Solomon. I'm not sure whether this section is written by Solomon, although I suspect it probably is. He had hundreds of wives, and yet he says, "A wife of noble character, who can find?" He's got hundreds to choose from, and he still hasn't found it. And you know, maybe that's the whole point. Where is such a woman to be found? Can she be fully found in a human being? Maybe Proverbs 31, the end of Proverbs 31, is meant to function a bit like Job 28 that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Job 28 says, there's a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined, but where is wisdom to be found? Where does understanding dwell? If you're looking for all of those things in a physical human being, maybe you're looking in the wrong place and maybe you'll be disappointed. Really, these things can only be fully found in Lady Wisdom. And if you want the true partner in life who will always bring good and not harm, she is the one to look to. She is the one you really need to embrace and marry. And you know what? Every one of us in the room can marry Lady Wisdom. So this is a message for all of us today, not just for young men. But I want to finish where I started. The reason Proverbs is saying all of these things, and I know some of them sound hard, is it's a father speaking to a son. And he quite simply does not want to see his son get hurt. So God is not being mean. He actually wants the very best for you. Can I leave you with two final bits of advice? Number one is this. And I believe that this could be a summary of the entire book of Proverbs. And itself is a proverb. The summary that I came up with is this. All that glitters is not gold. All that glitters is not gold. Therefore, choose carefully in lots of areas of your life. You know, if Proverbs are simply codified common sense, which is what a lot of the commentaries would have you believe, if it's just common sense, we don't need a proverb. If I would have chosen well, based simply on my natural desires and judgment, I don't need a proverb for that. But the truth is that there are some things in life that look good, but are actually bad. And on the flip side, there are some things which at first glance actually don't look that good, but are good. And that's when we need wisdom. Otherwise, we will fall into a trap, sometimes a very dreadful one with far-reaching consequences. So don't think you have to go behind God's back to get what is best. But finally, and this is my parting advice, I said there's two things. One is all that glitters is not gold. Number two is this. If you're a young person and you're looking for a partner, I think this applies to both boys and girls. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 14 says this. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is what? From the Lord. If you're serious about getting a good husband or wife, are you praying about it? If not, you're leaving this very important area of your life to your own judgment. And Proverbs says, you know, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? That's what you're doing. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. On the flip side, it also says this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Let's pray. Our Lord, we just pray that you can help us to seek after Lady Wisdom in all areas of our lives, not just for a life partner, but in our finances, in the way we deal with people inside and outside of our family, but especially in the way we deal with you. 2 Timothy says that the scriptures are there to make us wise, yes, but especially wise to salvation. And no matter how smart we are, in however many areas of our lives, if we've not chosen you in this area of our life, the Bible would call us a fool. For indeed, Christ has become for us wisdom. Help us to trust you as our Heavenly Father and not to think we have to go behind your back, to not have to learn the lessons of Adam and Eve and the prodigal son all over again. Help us to listen and heed the advice given us in the book of Proverbs and the advice given us by our loving Heavenly Father, who when we ask for an egg, doesn't give us a scorpion, or when we ask for bread, doesn't give us a stone. Thank you that it says in James that you are the giver of all good gifts. You don't change as the changing shadows. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Lady Folly can't deliver. She offers, but she can't deliver. Thank you that you're generous and willing to give us the very best. Help us to ask and help us to trust. Amen.